So these days, most every grocery store you walk into has some sort of loyalty discount program, right? Where you swipe your card or enter your phone number and you get a great discount, supposedly. But it wasn't always like that, was it? There was a simpler time when there was just one price for things. And sure, things would go on sale, but it was a sale that was available to everybody. You didn't have to have any sort of special status to access it. I remember those days, and so I remember how strange it felt when these discount programs first started popping up everywhere. And the very first one I came across was the Vic card at Harris Teeter. Vic, of course, stands for Very Important Customer. They still have this, I think, although I think now you can get it in an app instead. But back when it all started, you're getting your groceries one day and everything is normal. And then suddenly the next day, the poor cashiers have to ask everybody at the checkout line if they have their Vic card, their very important customer card yet. And if you were one of those, if you had the card, well, you got the discounts that day. And if not, full price for you, at least until you registered, right? And I think this is pretty annoying, to be told one day that something was on sale for everybody, and the next day that it was only for those who had a special Vic card. I remember my dad in the grocery line some years ago feeling that frustration. The poor 19-year-old cashier was just doing what he was told he had to do. "Good evening, sir. Do you have your very important customer card with us yet?" And Dad fired back, "No. I suppose I'm a fairly unimportant customer. Do you have a card with that acronym on it?" Which they did not, if you think about it. There's good reason for that. But these loyalty programs and discount cards, they've stayed around for a couple of decades now. Anybody think they're here because the store wants to give us better discounts? No, right? We know this is not what it's about. They want our data. They want to match my phone number with my credit card so they can track my purchases. They want my address so that they can then target their marketing at me very specifically. They say it's because I'm so important that they're giving me these discounts, but we know what's going on, right? They're only doing it because they want something from me. In that respect, not much has changed since Jesus started preaching at the dinner party of this Pharisee. Because in those days, in the Roman world, shame and honor were like a currency that you could build up and use to your advantage. And these fancy dinner parties were one of the best ways you could build up your status and standing. Give a party, and all the guests who come will owe you. Put somebody in a good seat, maybe they're even more in your debt. It wasn't just a nice evening with friends. It was about playing this game, jockeying for position, honor, and prestige that you could later use to get the things you wanted. You threw these parties because you wanted something from people. And as Jesus watched all these games being played, it seems like he was disgusted with it. He starts off with basically the same advice that we heard from Proverbs. Don't compete for the best places at the table, only to be told later that you got to move down to the kids' table. You're better off sitting at the lower seat so that you'll be honored when the host moves you up. Which is probably decent advice if what you're after is playing this game of honor. But the New Testament scholar N.T. Wright reminds us, Jesus didn't come to give good dinner party advice. So that's not what's going on here. Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom, all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Because under God's reign in the kingdom, the kind of social jockeying happening at this dinner party, the kind that happens in our lives, actually, if we can admit it. It's all exposed for what it is, and that is playing games. I mean, our games may not be so much about fancy dinners and guests of honor, but you know we pay attention to status. It impacts how we dress, what we drive, who we associate with, how we present ourselves online. We curate everything, right, to give a certain impression about who we are. We spend all this time and energy managing what other people think about us. And according to Jesus, that's all a big game, and it's not helpful in the kingdom of God. Ultimately, it's foolishness. It doesn't matter. Of course, when you're in the thick of it, it's hard to see that, especially with advertising preying on our worst fears about how other people might see us if we don't have whatever they're selling, right? But it's all a sham. Really, it is. The best thing I can think to compare it to is high school, maybe middle school for some of us, and the ways that the social structure of who's cool and desirable and who is not plays out. When you're in it, boy, it seems like it matters. Sometimes it feels like it might be life and death even. Who thinks you're cool? Who notices you? Who doesn't? Where do you sit in the cafeteria and with whom? These things can seem like they define your life in a lot of ways. But once you're out of it, once you're a few years on the other side of it all, well, then it's really clear, isn't it, those of us who have been through that transition already, none of that defines you, not at all. Of course, there can be lasting effects of how we choose to treat other people from our time in school, but the labels that get assigned there, your social status as cool or not, that stuff pretty much all melts away the moment you walk out that door and don't come back. I went to a really big high school, and I can't tell you how many of the kids that didn't quite fit in, who were a little weird, have turned into super interesting and super successful people. And it was because that cool kid stuff, it wasn't real. It was just a game. And all the status stuff that we play at, it isn't real either. What is real is Jesus, who is right now, in this moment, bringing in the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, the humble will be exalted. It's not because they deserve it, but because God loves them. This is the gift of God's grace for the world and for us. So forget the game. Practice intentional kindness. Care for the people who you know can't pay you back. Risk your comfortable status for the sake of loving somebody in need. Make it your business to associate not with the VIPs, but with the fairly unimportant people. Which is, of course, a misnaming, right? Because we know that all people are made in the image of God, and that alone gives each person infinite worth. Whether you are on the top of the social pecking order or the bottom, you are claimed by God in the waters of your baptism. And that means despite whatever society has to say about your worth, at God's table you have a place of honor. In Jesus, at this table, you receive nothing less than life abundant and everlasting. So don't worry about how your life might look to other people. Your calling is to seek out the people that this world deems fairly unimportant and to be with them. In Jesus, The love of God has overflowed, and you are covered in blessing. So invite the outcasts, and with kindness, spread God's love. Amen.